Thanksgiving or if it was around Christmas time, but we walked in the door and her extended family was actually there. I think it was her aunt had come down from Tennessee, and they had set up this table that was designated the puzzle table. Some of you are nodding. You obviously grew up in homes that had puzzle tables. I, in my mind, couldn't remember ever doing that growing up. And knowing that we were going to be talking a little bit about puzzles and pieces today, I called my father, who is a history major and is actually our family historian. And I said, "Dad, did we ever do puzzles growing up?" And he said, "Brad, we did a puzzle every single year we went to the beach for like 10 straight years. Don't you remember that?" And apparently I was a young age and I had messed with the table and maybe my aunt yelled at me. So I had blocked that memory out for my whole life. So I didn't grow up doing puzzles. That was something that was a little bit foreign to me. But as we were thinking about this story tonight and the different pieces that make up this beautiful nativity story that we tell, it just made sense for us to think about it like puzzle.
So obviously I did grow up doing puzzles. And we had a puzzle we did multiple times. It was a huge puzzle, and it was all these different kinds of cookies. And there were loose cookies, and there were packages of cookies, and I can remember Oreos and Lorna Doones and all kinds of different cookies. I always remember the Lorna Doones because I had no idea what that was growing up. But the problem with this puzzle was that when you looked at the cover, you know what I'm just getting ready to say? It didn't match the actual puzzle, right? I see the face. It didn't. It didn't match. And if you know anything about puzzles, you know the first thing that you do is you look at the top of the box and you use it to help you build the puzzle because that's the whole picture, right? And so then when you have blue, you're like, oh, the blue's in the top left here.
Your left.
My left, your left, whatever. And, you know, the red's in another place, and you sort of know what words go in which places. And so the whole picture helps you to do the puzzle and to get everything right. And if you don't have the whole picture, it can be really frustrating, and you don't know what you're doing. So we're lucky that this evening we get to hear the whole picture. We didn't see it, but I'm sure you could see it in your mind. But we don't just get little glimpses. We hear the whole story, and it's a sweet, wonderful story. But imagine for me for just a second, if you only heard this story or saw it in pieces, okay? So, Caesar, the emperor, has asked you to travel far away so that you can pay more taxes. Sweet, not sweet. That's not sweet, right? Your fiance is pregnant, and it's not your baby. Not a sweet story, is it? 70-mile trip at 9 months pregnant on a donkey.
Guys, you don't get to answer this one.
Not a sweet story. Shepherds outside in the dark and the cold, and God's army shows up and starts yelling at them. Sweet story? Not really a sweet story. That's what I'm talking about right there. How about a family with a newborn baby that has to sleep outside in the cold with animals? Not a sweet story. Absolutely. These aren't sweet pictures taken separately. But you put them all together, and we have this beautiful story, this story that 2,000 years later, here we are, not just retelling it, but singing beautiful songs about it. Our life can be like that sometimes too. That sometimes we get stuck in little snapshots of our life, right? We see our life in pieces, and not every piece is a sweet story. But if you put some of our pieces together, it starts to look a bit better. But it's really frustrating when we can't see the whole picture. I don't know if you have ever gotten frustrated with your life because you just don't know what it's going to end up looking like. And so we gather on nights like this together to tell the story and to look back and to see what God has done and believe and hope that God will do that again. That what God does for us is God takes the pieces of our lives and makes them into a whole picture. We have to trust that God has the front of the puzzle. And we may not know exactly where we fit. You might be really lucky and be a corner. Or maybe you're smack dab in the middle. And we don't know exactly what it's going to end up looking like. But our faith leads us to believe that with God at the center, that that picture will end up being perfect and complete and beautiful.
So my frustration is not necessarily that I can't see the big picture. That is a frustration I have sometimes, but when it comes to doing a puzzle, my frustration is I'm the one that gets to a point in which I have two pieces that I'm convinced fit together when they really don't. But yet I want to use force to kind of make them fit. I've even threatened to go get the razor blade and like cut in order to make them fit. Because I'm convinced, my expectation is that these things should fit together. I would assume that Mary and Joseph had some expectations for their lives, and this night isn't exactly how they had it put together. Expectations that for her to be at a young age, for him to be away from home, none of this really sort of fits. And so they're kind of in a situation in which they're having to kind of force it together. Megan talked about the idea that we see it as a whole and we see this beautiful story, but I wonder, and I'm not the only one that wonders this, what happens behind the scenes that we don't get to see? One of my favorite preachers, Barbara Brown Taylor, actually wrote this about in a sermon of hers entitled Past Perfection, and she says it even better than I can. And maybe you can relate to part of this story, because she sets it all up and she says it's so beautiful and it's gorgeous, but then everybody goes home. And so this is her sermon called Past Perfection. She says, but 20 minutes later, what? The hole in the heavens had closed up and the only music came from the bars at the inn. One of the cows stepped on a chicken and the resulting racket made the baby cry. And as she leaned over to pick him up, Mary started crying too. And when Joseph tried to comfort her, she told him she wanted her mother. If she had just married a nice boy from Nazareth, she said, she would be back home where she belonged instead of competing with the sheep for a place to sleep. Then she said she was sorry. And Joseph said not to think another thing about it. He meant it too. They both hurt all over. And there was nothing to eat. And it was cold as the dickens. But you know what? God was still there. Right in the middle of that picture. You see, friends, maybe you can relate to that part in your life, that something has happened or somebody has said something or done something to you and it's left you feeling as if it just doesn't fit. A decision was made or a relationship was lost. And you're trying to put the pieces back together and you've tried and you've tried and you've tried and you've tried to force it. And it just doesn't work. Maybe the word for us tonight is in those situations, in those times, to simply take a step back. To take a deep breath. Maybe to do some rearranging of the pieces that we have that we can see. To see how something may be used better elsewhere. Or better yet, maybe that we can learn and can grow from this pain or this difficulty that we are facing. Again, I don't espouse the idea that God causes these things to test us as much as God walks with us through these tests. Because eventually we take those pieces and they kind of do work out, at least to a certain point. Close to the end, that is.
Okay, so what's the final thing that drives you crazy about puzzles? Missing piece. See, I got some puzzlers in the house. That's good. It's the missing piece, right? You work tirelessly on this beautiful, you know, piece of art that you're going to tear down eventually. And you get to the end, and you're so excited, and there's a hole. There's a missing piece. All the hard work, all the time, and you can't finish it. That is frustrating. And on the face of this story, it seems like it is complete and there are no missing pieces, doesn't it? But I would venture to say that there are missing pieces because each and every one of us is part of the puzzle and the picture. Even with Caesar and Mary and Joseph and shepherds and angels and the baby Jesus, there are still more pieces to the puzzle. Each and every one of us has our own spot where we fit perfectly. And God is just waiting for our piece to fall in place. So just like we would scour the kitchen floor for a missing puzzle piece when I was growing up, so does God search for each and every one of us. Jesus says that God is like a shepherd who had 100 sheep and one went missing. And he left the 99 and went in search for the one sheep. Jesus says that God is like a woman searching for a lost coin. And maybe Jesus might have also said that God is like a jigsaw puzzler looking for that lost piece, the exact thing that's needed to make everything complete.
So no matter where you find yourself, whether it's not being able to see the bigger picture, feeling as if life is kind of moving in a direction that you're not exactly sure where it's going and you can't see that bigger picture, or whether you feel as if you've been put into a situation in which you're trying to force things to make them fit. And deep down inside, you know that they just don't. Or maybe you feel lost. Like that lost piece towards the end of the puzzle being put together. Or maybe you're not any of those three things. Maybe you think you've got it all figured out and your puzzle looks great. This night's for you. No matter where you find yourself, this night is for you, a night in which we celebrate the incarnation, the God made flesh in the form of Jesus Christ. It gives all of humanity, all of creation, a sense of completeness, a sense that is beautiful. The early church fathers and mothers had this idea that all of us as humanity were born with a God-sized hole within us. And that part of the sinful nature that we engage in is we're tempted all the time to fill that hole with things that are not of God. But on this night, this is the night that we celebrate the gift that is Jesus Christ, that comes, that fills that hole, that spot, that place within all of us. We have a gift, I guess, that we will give you tonight. As you come down in a few moments for communion, there's on our altar, on the rail down here, we have pieces of puzzle. And we're not going to show you the picture of what the puzzle is made up, because mainly these pieces have been spread over three services now. So you guys get to join with the people who have already heard this sermon twice already in order to be a part of a bigger picture that is beautiful. Because we want you to think this night of what part it is that you're being called to play in the ever ongoing story of incarnation. We describe it as God made flesh, but it's also described as community made body. The idea that you and I get to engage in this body of Christ here in the world now. Not in some far distant future, but right here, right now. So whether you're here as a visitor, as someone who comes each and every Sunday, as a friend, as a relative, whoever you are, from wherever you came from, you have a place here this night. A place in front of the manger. A place at Christ's table. That you are a piece of God's beautiful and complete puzzle that is all of creation. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks, Lord, for the gift of this night and for your word, but most importantly, for your word made flesh in whom we celebrate. Lord, we come from a lot of different places, experiencing a lot of different things. And Lord, help us to understand that we are a part of your greater whole. Help us to live into all that you call us to be, all that you want us to be, all that this world desperately needs us to be. God, we thank you. And we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.